Very often in sermons, preachers will talk about us being on a journey, that we have a sense of purpose, a sense of searching for something, that we're striving to a particular goal. Even in that last hymn, the final verse, watching, praying, struggling, thus victory ours shall be at last. We should indeed be journeying, searching, striving. These are all frequent themes we find in the Bible. And indeed, these are probably experiences we recognise from our own life, a sense that we're moving towards something, searching, striving. But this morning, rather than talking about that kind of journey, I want to pose another different kind of question and a different kind of challenge, not about how we might move towards where we want to be, rather a question about how we live and how we cope when we finally get there, when we finally get what we want. You see, this was the problem which that passage from Deuteronomy was addressing. After generations of hope and despair, after 40 years, you'll remember, of testing in the wilderness, and all those adventures and ups and downs, finally, they're in that place where the promised land is about to become their home. They were about to get what they had always wanted, what they had been journeying towards and searching for and striving after. They're about to receive what they had wanted. But how were they going to live once they got it? Before I say more about their situation, I want to be clear that, of course, I'm also talking about our situation. I know that might sound surprising and perhaps even a little provocative, but if preaching doesn't involve some surprises, if preaching doesn't provoke a little, then we're probably not doing our job. I want to say that the problem of how to cope when you get what you want is directly relevant for us, because we have got everything we want. I know it doesn't always feel that way when we wake up on a damp morning. I know there's a massive advertising industry trying constantly to make us feel that we don't have everything we need. There's something else we should want. But if you look at our lives from the outside rather than how it feels on the inside, I think you'll see what I mean. The main preoccupation of human life, for the vast majority of our human history, has been to find food and to find shelter. Up until very recently in historic terms, these things were very difficult, and the primary purpose of each waking day is to find enough for that day. Whether we have in the past been hunters and gatherers battling with dangerous beasts, or small-scale farmers trying to grow our crops through drought and flood and disease, finding the basic things we need just to survive another day, that's what human life has been about for most of human history. Now, dare I suggest, we have food and we have shelter. We don't even have to worry about finding it again tomorrow, because for the most part for us it's all secure. We know where our provisions are coming from. We may take that for granted, but we shouldn't. We might imagine that's just normal, but it's not. We are enormously well off. A choice of food from around the world, homes double glazed and centrally heated, the finest entertainers in the world available to us right there in our own homes at the touch of a remote control. the ability to speak to anyone, anywhere in the world, whenever we want to. Any of the most powerful kings of the ancient world would have swapped everything they had amassed for a fraction of what we take as normal. We've got everything we want, or at least we've got everything our ancestors could have wanted, and we have it with a level of choice and comfort which they could not begin to imagine would ever be possible. And indeed, let's not forget that we have a level of choice, a level of comfort that most of the world's population today could not begin to imagine. If anyone from any point in our history were asked to describe what it might be like to live in a land flowing with milk and honey, to describe a perfect lifestyle, everything you could want, they could not begin to get close to what we take as normal. So, to get back to the problem, what do we do when we get everything we want? It's a problem because what we discover in that setting is that actually everything we wanted is not enough. What we discover is that while we gain much, we may also lose something. And whatever it is that we are missing cannot be made up for by any amount of material prosperity. There's an ancient truth that remains just as true as ever. We can't live on bread alone. No matter how much bread we have, no matter how attractive the wrapping may be, no matter how sophisticated the flavours, we humans are put together in such a way that we need more than just the things which look attractive to us. We know that now, because we have everything that humans have always wanted, and still we feel anxious, unsettled, unsure. As we've read, when the leaders of the ancient people of Israel knew that their people were about to get everything they had always wanted, they knew that those people were going to face new and different challenges. What do you do when you get everything you wanted? How do you maintain a sense of unity, a strong desire to live well together? You see, that might be easy enough when you're all on this mission together. You're all actively working with a sense of unity and a shared purpose. You're all trying to achieve the same goal, and it gives you that sense of bond and commitment. But once the mission is complete, all of that fades so quickly. How do you prevent yourself then from becoming just greedy and selfish and lazy? How do you keep yourself then from forgetting about God and drifting away from His ways? There are three basic instructions that were given to that ancient people, and I want to suggest they might be as relevant for us now as ever they were then. The first one: you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and offer it to God. The land which they will have is land which had been promised by God and which is being given by God, and they need to always remember that. If they're to avoid falling for the attractive but dangerous illusion that this is theirs by right, that they deserve it, and therefore that the land is theirs to do whatever they want with. And to ensure that they remember this, they are to take the first and the best of what they are able to produce from the land and offer that to God. This religious practice is going to be very important for them, and it remains an important practice for us. That's why we still teach that the first day of the week should be set aside for worship and prayer and holy celebration. Why, we still teach that the first act in deciding what to do with our income should be to decide what and how we can offer that for God's work in the world. It's for the welfare of our souls, it's for the well-being of our lives, for if we ever forget that it's God who gifts us with every talent and skill and ability, we will be missing something that's very important. If we do not offer the first and the best of what we have to God, then we may well wonder what we have become. The second instruction: when making your offering, you shall go to the priest and say, "Our father was a wandering Aramean. He went down into Egypt and lived there as a foreigner." In other words, you shall make a point of regularly remembering and restating who you are and where you've come from. You see, those people had a shared history, and it would be important for them to retain their identity and their sense of being a community together. This religious practice was going to be important for them, and it remains an important practice for us. Of course, we've not got a shared history in that sense to recount to one another as they did, but we do have a shared story, which we all have in common. We were all born naked and helpless upon the earth. We've all grown into who we are only because food was available to us, only because there were adults around who provided for us and cared for us. We've all made mistakes, and we all need forgiveness. So we dare not forget who we really are, or what we have in common. But if we forget that, if we fall into the trap of believing in our own self-worth, believing we have created wealth and prosperity for ourselves, believing that we deserve it, then we will be losing something very important. That's why every week in prayer together we still confess our sins and give thanks to our Creator. It's for the welfare of our souls, for the well-being of our lives, and if we ever forget who we are and how we came to be here, we may well wonder, what have we become? And the third instruction: then you, together with the Levites and all the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. It's a call to remember, to celebrate. The ancient people were not just to keep on working all the time for more and more and more. They were to celebrate all the good things which the Lord their God had given them. And those celebrations, note the detail, were not to be selfish or self-indulgent. The Levites were to be included. That was the tribe set aside who didn't farm the land and therefore had no harvest of their own. They are to be included in the celebration. The aliens, the foreigners living in the land, people travelling through, migrant workers, they are to be included as equals in the celebration. Together, they were to celebrate all the bounty that the Lord their God had given them. This religious practice was going to be very important for them. And of course, it's going to be very important for us. And that's why every week we sing hymns of praise and we sing out our thanksgiving. And that's why we still seek to be a welcoming people, treating all as equals, serving our community and reaching out to those who are maybe struggling around us. It's for the welfare of our souls, the well-being of our lives. And if we ever stop doing that, we'll be missing something very important. If we do not want to be thankful and to include everyone in the celebration of God's goodness, then we may well wonder what we have become. Well, did these directions help the people as they came to live in the promised land? Sadly, we know, as the story unfolds, that they didn't cope very well. The remainder of the Old Testament story will tell us that the prophets repeatedly condemned the people for forgetting these commands, for becoming greedy and lazy and selfish. They used their wealth for their own pleasures, used foreigners for their own purposes. They built their economy and their military. They let their worship and their obedience fall by the wayside. Ultimately, the nation would again fall apart and they would again become slaves. The danger, which is real for us all, is there as we see people still around us today becoming slaves to greed, to anger, to fear, to anxiety. So we rejoice. We remember to celebrate that we are offered another way. We are offered the way of Christ, who, despite having the ability, the opportunity to do so many things, prioritized in his own life obeying God and living faithfully, and who, by doing that all the way, broke every chain that might hold us back. In so many ways, we have everything we want. The question remains, how will we cope with that? What will we do with that? How will we live with that? May we never become deaf to the call of God, which reminds us who we are and which reminds us how we ought to live.